Hank L., Attic.
Hey,
I'm back. Speaker statement. The NA member chosen to speak at a meeting needs to be someone who is working and living the NA program of recovery, which are the 12 steps and 12 traditions. In areas where there is not an abundance of NA members with substantial clean time or experience with the 12 steps and 12 traditions, there is the possibility that a group inexperienced in Narcotics Anonymous may misunderstand Narcotics Anonymous traditions and invite speakers from outside the NA fellowship. There are several ways to avoid this situation. Our basic text, for instance, reminds us that NA members from other areas are willing to drive long distances to support new groups. The speaker helps fulfill the group's primary purpose, carry the message of recovery to the addict who still suffers. When speaking at an NA meeting, we should be careful to deliver a clear message of recovery by identifying ourselves as addicts recovering from the disease of addiction. It is not necessary to dwell excessively on our active addiction or war stories because we all know what it was like to use. We came to Narcotics Anonymous to stop using, and we are here to share our experience, strength, and hope of recovery. Again, I'm an addict recovering from the disease of addiction. My name is Hank.
Hey.
I'm back. First and foremost, I want to thank God for the moment. I want to thank him that we're all here right now keeping the miracle alive. You know, also, I would like to take the time to thank the convention committee, for inviting me out here. It's truly a privilege and an honor anytime I'm asked to do anything in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, because Narcotics Anonymous has literally saved my life. You know, and when I first came around to the Fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous, I used to just say things like that because I heard you guys say things like that. You know what I mean? But sometimes we learn inside the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous that, you know what I mean, we learn to mimic stuff before we actually learn to live it. You know, act as if, you know. And like I was like in so much pain, like I was willing to do whatever it was that y'all was doing. You know, one of the things I remember hearing and seeing when I got here was that if you want what we have to offer, and was willing to make the effort to get it, then you were ready to take certain steps. And these are the principles that make recovery possible. You know, but when I first got here, like, the most important thing in my life was not using. Right? And God willing, in June, I'll have 15 years, and still the most important thing in my life is not using. Yeah. You know, but when I first got here, like, you know, I had to, like, learn the Narcotics Anonymous language, you know what I mean? I had to do what you people do. And, like, I was in so much pain when I got here. I didn't have anything else to talk about but pain, you know what I mean? And, you know, at some point, you know what I mean, like, staying clean just wasn't enough. You know what I mean? I know, like, I suffer from a disease of addiction that's rooted in fear, insecurity, low self-esteem, and a general negative outlook on life, right? And my addiction and my disease involve much more than just using drugs. So I know my recovery is going to involve much more than mere abstinence. You know what I mean? You know, I heard certain things, and certain things still stay with me today, that if I didn't change the person that brought me into the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, that same person would take me out there. You know, I'm here to share on the topic, right, victim or volunteer. You know, and, you know, I'm the type of person, right, when I was coming up, before I got to the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, right, I always took myself very, very seriously. But I didn't take life very seriously. I was always, like, living on the edge. And I come into recovery, and, like, I'm real, real serious about my recovery, but sometimes I don't take myself as serious as I used to. You know, I've learned to relax in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous and live and enjoy life, so to speak, you know. Before coming here, that just wasn't possible because life was an exercise in survival for me. You understand what I'm saying? It was just no time to have fun and to laugh and all that type of stuff once drugs came into my life. And we was talking about the topic, and I was talking about that with some of my support group. And I was saying to them, I said, I don't know why they picked me to speak on the topic, you know what I mean, victim or volunteer. I was always the victim, you know. Yeah, y'all can identify with that. They response was the same as yours. You know, like, you know, they know I'm like some type of nut. You know what I mean? They just flew over the cuckoo's nest or something. But for identification purpose and how I got to the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, right, I just want to share, like, where I come from and, like, how I got here. You know, I'm a product of the 60s. I was born and raised in Brooklyn, you know, New York. I'm living in the Bronx now. I come from a very loving and caring family, you know what I mean, a single parent house home, you know. My mother, she, you know, was very loving and caring. I remember her introducing me to some morals and values. I remember her introducing me to some spiritual principles when I was a very young child. She introduced me to prayer. She introduced me to God. You know what I mean? She was like, you know what I mean, go to school, get an education. You know what I mean? I was never taught that God was a punishing God. You know what I mean? And she also told me, like, don't go around those people hanging out in those places and doing those things. You understand what I'm saying? My spiritual needs were being met at a very early age. My living conditions were at a point of comfort, but I had some more important wants and needs. And all those things that she introduced me to as a very young child, I took them and I put them down and I left them for the streets and the pursuit of happiness, and I became a bum. Right? So when I look at the word victim and volunteer, I think, you know, being a volunteer is like, you know, knowing that you have a choice in a matter, right? And you're able to walk away from any type of harm that might come your way, right? And being a victim is like you have no choice whatsoever. You understand what I'm saying? So if you're new, I want to welcome anybody that's new to Narcotics Anonymous. The program of Narcotics Anonymous does work, and we do recover, right? So, but I chose the lifestyle that I was living before I came into the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, you know. And as a direct result, you know, I mean, I became a bum, you know. And, like, I remember as the disease of addiction started to progress, you understand what I'm saying? Because, like, my important wants and needs was what everybody else was doing out in the street, not like what my parents was giving me at home. So I went out there. And I started, like, hanging out with those guys that was my role models, right? And I was introduced to drugs at a very early age. You know, by the time I was 12 years old, I was already using on a regular basis. You know, the obsession and compulsion to use drugs had already been there. I remember being in school on a Wednesday and just thinking about what I was going to use Friday and Saturday. You understand what I'm saying? So the obsession to use was already there. And every weekend I used from the age of 12, so I was using on a regular basis. By the time I was 14 years old, I was already in my first outpatient program. Right? By the time I was 16 years old, I was already in my first rehab. Right? The only alternative to using is jails, institutions, and death. You know what I mean? And that's my life story. You know, and I remember, you know what I mean, going from, like, you know, being this one person, you know, like they talk about, like, the drugs has the ability to turn you into someone or something that you do not want to be. And I was at last two people instead of one, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. And in the end, Mr. Hyde died and Dr. Jekyll took over. One of them died, the other one took over. You know, Dr. Jekyll died and Mr. Hyde took over. And, like, I remember, you know what I mean, you know, people calling me a wino, and I was all right with that. You know, people calling me a pluckhead, and I was all right with that. You know what I mean? People calling me a dope fiend and a junkie and a crackhead, and I was all right with that. People calling me a methadonian, and I was all right with that. You know what I mean? But it was just something about that word addict. You understand what I'm saying? Like, I was in real, real deep denial about the word addict. Right? If you're new to Narcotics Anonymous, like, nobody can convince us that we're addicts. It is an admission that you have to make for yourself. But when some of us have doubts, ask yourself this question. Can I control my using for any length of time? Most addicts will see that control is impossible the moment it's suggested. So, you know, if you're here and you see that control is impossible, this may be that you might have a problem with drugs, and this may be you might be an addict. You know, but, you know, that deal with my definition of a victim and of a volunteer. But, you know, I had to go to Webster and I had to look up the word volunteer. And it says, one who enters into or offers himself for a service of his own free will. You know, and that's basically what I said, but I, you know, I'm not no intellectual type of guy. You know what I mean? I could give it to you, you know, to the very best of my ability, but that's what it means to me. You know, who enters into or offers himself for a service of his own free will. I mean, I had a choice. I had a choice. She told me, you understand what I'm saying? Don't do that. And I had seen some of the results, like in the older members in my family. You understand what I'm saying? Or what the drugs could possibly do to somebody. So I ain't go out there like with no information. You know what I mean? So I made that choice, and I wasn't a victim. I was a volunteer. You understand? And I became addicted to the lifestyle before I became addicted to the drugs. I was living the lifestyle before I started using. You understand what I'm saying? Because I came from like a poor family. I mean, poor family. P-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-R. You know what I mean? And you know what I mean? Like, you know, like, I'm telling you, like, my spiritual needs were being met. My living condition was at a point of comfort. I mean, there was always food on the table. There was always, I could invite friends over to the house, and they was able to eat. I was taking my clothes and giving it to some of my friends. But you understand what I'm saying? I wanted to have what those individuals was getting that had mothers and fathers. So I went out there, and I was looking for the people that I was getting, and I got hooked up with them, and they showed me how to do some things, and I started practicing a certain type of lifestyle until it became a part of my character. And once it became a part of my character, it became a part of how I was living. You know, so I made that decision to go on out there and do that. Right? Then it talks about, like, I looked up the word victim, right? And it talks about, in the dictionary, it talks about one that is acted on and used. You know. One that is tricked or duped. I mean, some of us are still here with 15 years and we're still getting duped. You know what I mean? Still getting duped. You know, but you know, I could say, like, well, I was sort of like a victim and a volunteer when it comes to the disease of addiction to drugs. See, because I voluntarily used drugs, but I didn't know, like, it was going to be so progressive, and, like, in the end, I was going to become this other person. You understand what I'm saying? I was doped or duped. Wow. You know? A dupe. Bamboozled. Hoodwinked.
That's right.
You know. You know, and you know, it was just devastating. You know, I first came into the Fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous for the first time in 1985, right? And when I got here, I came into the rooms with an attitude of indifference and intolerance towards spiritual principles, right? And I was like sort of like a smart addict. You know what I mean? You know what the literature talks about? Like, if our primary purpose was education, we're like, we'll probably end up with a lot of smart addicts, right? Well, I ain't have any traditions or anything like that when I came into the rooms in 1985, but I was like a smart addict. You know what I mean? And it was still like that word, with that word addict, like I didn't come inside and raise my hand and say, listen, my name is Hank, I'm an addict and I need help, which was suggested that I do. And as a result of not taking the suggestions, as a result of not getting involved, 10 months later I went out and I used, right? Within 2 years, right, I had been beat down again, only to return to the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, right? But now, I probably got smarter because I probably learned now that I'm really not that smart, that what worked before ain't gonna work now. Right, but I was always a hard-headed addict. Now I'm hard-headed. I'm just not smart, I'm just hard-headed, right? And y'all give me some simple suggestions, right, that would help me stay clean. Right? Make 90 meetings in 90 days, sit up front, learn to listen, right? To get telephone numbers at every single meeting, right? To get yourself a support group and a foundation, to get yourself a sponsor. Right? And all the suggestions that y'all gave me, I didn't take, and as a result of being clean for 3 years and 8 months, I went back out and I used. Right? If you're new, right, we were searching for an answer when we reached out and found Narcotics Anonymous. We came to our first NA meeting in defeat and did not know what to expect. After sitting in a meeting or several meetings, we began to feel that people cared and was willing to help. Although our minds told us we would never make it, the people in the fellowship gave us hope by insisting that we could recover. Recovery is what happens in our meetings. Our lives are at stake. Right? Now, relapse is a part of my story. Right? Now, relapse is never an accident. It's never an accident. So, you know what I mean? You can't say that you were a victim of relapse. right? Relapse is a return to using drugs after a period of abstinence. And for most addicts, this is a serious issue. Because some die and never make it back to the fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous, continuing to use in pain and misery. And with a return to using drugs, not only do we pick up from where we left off at, and the disease of addiction gets progressively worse, but you lose the ability to use in ignorance because Narcotics Anonymous has already shown you a better way. Like, once you know, you can't go back to saying that you don't know. You know what I mean? It talks about like being a victim, being forced into something or duped, like it said in the dictionary. You know, a lot of books have been written about addiction. This here book primarily concerns itself with the nature of recovery. It's not a dictionary. You understand what I'm saying? We might have a whole lot of words in here that might mean the same as some words in the dictionary, but you understand what I'm saying? The problem with literature is language. The feelings, the strength, and the intensity are sometimes lost in the words. But in our meat is the message of recovery is a recurring thing, right? Because you guys, through your experience, strength, and hope, like y'all bring the words to life. You understand what I'm saying? We can feel the strength and the intensity through your experience, strength, and hope. We are never forced into a relapse. We are given a choice. Relapse is never an accident. Relapse is a sign that we have a reservation in our program. We begin to slight our program and leave loopholes in our daily lives. Unaware of the pitfalls ahead, we stumble blindly into belief that we can make it on our own. Sooner or later, we fall into the illusions that drugs make life easier. We believe that drugs can change us, and we forget that these changes are lethal. When we believe that the drugs will solve our problems and forget what they can do to us, we are in real trouble. Unless the illusions that we cannot continue to use or stop using on our own are shattered, we must certainly sign our own death warrant. For some reason, not taking care of our personal affairs lowers our self-esteem and establishes a pattern that repeats itself in all areas of our lives. If we begin to avoid our new responsibilities by missing meetings, neglecting 12-step work, or not getting involved, our program stops. We may sense a change coming over us. Our ability to remain open-minded disappears. We may become angry and resentful toward anyone or anything. We may begin to reject those who are close to us. We isolate ourselves. We become sick of ourselves in a short period of time. You ever see somebody always speaking at a meeting? Always speaking at the convention? Every time you go to a convention or go to a meeting, they're speaking at a meeting. Right? And they'd be the first one to say, oh, he's speaking again? You know what I mean? Do you ever get tired of hearing yourself sometime? Get sick and tired of yourself? You've been speaking so much like this, I'm tired of speaking. You understand what I'm saying? And get humble and practice the spiritual principle of humility and like, listen, give somebody else a turn. We all have something to give. We revert back to our sickest behavior patterns without even having to use drugs. You don't even have to pick up the mess up. We resort back to our sickest behaviors without even having to use drugs. Volunteer victim, right? It was not until, right, that I was able to do a searching and fearless moral inventory, right, to sort through the confusion and contradiction that I had made of my life with drugs, right, that I was able, with the help of a loving and caring sponsor, to find out what part I played in certain situations. Right? This is not a 1-2-3-step program. This is a 12-step program. Right? They talk about recovery as an act of change in old ideas and old behaviors. Right? Recovery is a direct result of living the steps. Right? Now, I tell you, you know what I mean? Like, when I got here, you know what I mean? It wasn't about doing any steps. You know what I mean? I had been in, like, so much pain, right, that all I wanted to do, like, was, like, stop using drugs, stop feeling the way I was feeling, stop looking the way that I was looking, right? But I didn't know I need to, like, change the person that brought me into the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, right? In the 6 or so years that I was coming and going, right, and hadn't surrendered to the program of Narcotics Anonymous, right, from 1985 on up to 1990, right, I was just coming in the rooms, right, and just taking up space, right? No telephone numbers, no support group, no 90 meetings in 90 days, no sponsor, no step work. No step work. They say the steps are our solution. They are our survival kit. They are our best guarantee against relapse to the treacherous disease of addiction. Right? For this here addict, this addict right here, right? With 14 years in recovery, going on 15 years, right? No steps, no recovery. I just can't see how I can recover, right, without a sponsor, without a loving and caring God, right, and the 12 steps of Narcotics Anonymous. Right? One of the things that it talks about in some of the literature, right, in the second step, right, it talks about this step is necessary to achieve ongoing recovery. Right? One of the things it talks about in the fourth step, members who fail to take this crucial step relapse. I mean, those two things is just enough to open up my eyes. I mean, if I'm sick and tired of being tired and sick, right, and like I don't want to live the way that I was living, that's enough to open up my eyes, right? But it's important, right, that I get to know why I need the steps, because I'm fighting against a disease that's cunning, baffling, and insidious, right? And its job is to kill me. It wants me dead, but it wants me to suffer in the process. It wants me to suffer in the process, right? Talk about volunteer and victim, right? Failure, it talks about in the literature, right? Failure to accept personal responsibilities, we create our own problems, right? We can no longer blame people, places, and things for the situations that we put ourselves into. You know what I mean? I try to do that all my life. You know what I mean? Just blaming it on circumstances. This is, I'm talking about even before I started using drugs. Even before I started using drugs. You know what I mean? It's not my fault. They just don't like me. You know what I mean? I just don't have enough money. I just don't have enough clothes. Just don't have enough shoes. Just don't have enough women. Just don't have enough cars. You understand what I'm saying? I'm talking about before I started using drugs. I was always looking for something outside of myself to fix what was wrong on the inside, me. Fix what was wrong on the inside. You know? Starting with the first step, right? We admitted that we was powerless over our addiction, that our lives had become unmanageable, right? And I remember doing that there first step, right? And it wasn't the drugs or the disease of addiction that I had associated the first step with, right? And one of the things that it talks about in this first step, right, the spiritual principle behind the first step, right, is honesty, right? Take an honest look at your using and what it had done to your life. Not just look at the using, but look at the using and what you had become as a direct result of using, right? And then one of the things that it talks about inside that step that is very important is surrender, right? And we learn in here that we surrender to win, right? And powerlessness and stuff like that, right? And if you grew up in the projects in Brooklyn, right, surrender and powerlessness was just not a part of your vocabulary. You know what I mean? I know y'all could identify with it because I done been to Philly, I done been to Chicago, I done been to Detroit. You understand what I'm saying? I done been to Richmond, Virginia. I've been a few places, so, you know, I know that y'all know. You understand what I'm saying? But in order to surrender, you got to first come to a point of surrender. You understand? And that might be anything. It might be something like, well, you know what I mean? I'm just sick and tired of being tired and sick. It might be the loss of a loved one. It might be a serious illness. You understand what I'm saying? That might be that jarring experience for you to, like, make changes in your life. You know what I mean? And for me, you know what I mean? Because, like, in the beginning, using was fun. And the euphoria began to wear off, and I started to see the ugly side of addiction. Right? But I was so sick in the end, I still thought I was having fun. You understand? I was sitting inside a shooting gallery, right, with a .38 to my head playing Russian roulette. You know what I mean? Before even putting the pistol to my head, like I was slowly committing suicide anyway. You understand what I'm saying? You know, like I wasn't one of those type of guys, right? You know what I mean? Who had a whole bunch of drugs, a big drug deal, and had a whole bunch of money and all that type of stuff and hung out in like real extravagant places. You understand what I'm saying? I was an addict. I was an addict. Some of us use, misuse, and abuse drugs and still do not consider ourselves addicts. Through all this, we kept telling ourselves, I can handle it. Our misconceptions about the nature of addiction included visions of violence, street crime, dirty needles, and jail. That's my story. That's my story. I hung out in shooting galleries. You understand what I'm saying? I ran around with people who ran around with guns, who robbed people and did dirty, harmful things to people. That was my story. You understand what I'm saying? I ain't sell a whole bunch of drugs and make a whole lot of money. I had to get mine by hook or crook. We were constantly searching for the answer, that person, place, or thing that would make everything all right. We lacked the ability to cope with daily living. As our addiction progressed, many of us found ourselves in and out of institutions. That's my story. These experiences indicated that there was something wrong with our lives. We wanted an easy way out. I always wanted an easy way out. Some of us thought of suicide. Our attempts were usually feeble and only helped to contribute to our feelings of worthlessness. I felt worthless long before I started using drugs. Right? And then being addicted to a lifestyle and being addicted to the drugs, right, and still not being able to cope with daily life, I even felt lower than that. We were trapped in the illusion of what if only, and just one more time. When we did seek help, we were only looking for the absence of pain. Only looking for the absence. I just wanted the pain to stop. Right? And in the end, right, I'm sitting there, right, with a .38 to my head, playing Russian roulette and sometimes pulling the trigger twice, not once. And one of the things it talks about, right, inside that first step is acceptance and admittance, right? So nobody convinces that addict, I have to admit it on my own. Like, you know, I mean, I have to come from my own lips, right? But once I could admit something, then possibly I could get some help for it, right? But then acceptance, right? See, you could accept something, but don't necessarily have to like it. I accept the fact that I'm an addict. I don't like it. I love the fact that I'm a recovering addict today. Because I came in here just an addict. Today I'm an addict recovering from the disease of addiction. Failure to accept personal responsibilities, I create my own problems. Little kids in here. In order to get screwed, you got to put yourself in the position to get screwed. Recovery does not guarantee us freedom from living life on life's terms. In Narcotics Anonymous, we can learn to accept the reality of life, which sometimes brings us illness or injury. We've learned in Narcotics Anonymous that we can apply spiritual principles to help us get through these difficult times. When we admit our powerlessness, we can accept our illness and any necessary medical treatment. It may help to admit that we are also powerless over the feelings we experience when we are ill. Illness or injury is stressful And stress can place us at risk for relapse, right? 3 years and 8 months clean, right? With 3 years of being abstinent from sex, 3 years being abstinent from drugs, right? I found that I was HIV positive. And 8 months later, I picked up, and when I picked up to kill myself. We can prepare ourselves for these stressful times by doing our best each day to lay strong foundations in our recovery. No step work, no sponsor, right? No support group, no telephone numbers, right? So what tools do I have to use, right, when I'm confronted with a serious situation? The steps we take today will serve us well when we need them. Coming to terms with an illness is a process. It is a process in which we often experience denial, bargaining, anger, grief, surrender, and acceptance. See, I went through the bargaining, the anger, the grief, and the surrender, right, and the acceptance, right? But, see, before coming to the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, right, I turned my will and my life over to a destructive power. My will and my life was controlled by the drugs. So here it was, I was clean, right? And I was caught up in fear, anger, resentment, depression, right? And I was condemning myself. So in the end, I had to make a decision. I had to take action. And the decision that I made, I turned it over to those destructive traits. And in the end, I was using drugs. Coming to terms with an illness is a process. It's a process which we can often experience denial, bargaining, anger, grief, surrender, and acceptance. However, it's comforting to realize that these stages are a normal part of the process. Acceptance of something does not necessarily mean we like it. We can dislike something and still accept it. I still dislike the fact that I'm HIV positive, but I still accept it. Been HIV positive since 1986. Today, I'm not dying from the disease of addiction or dying from any other disease. I'm living with it because I have some spiritual principles. I have a loving God in my life, and I have some loving people in my life, right? One of the things that I had to learn in regards to being a volunteer and being a victim is taking responsibility for the situations, for the part that I play in situations. You understand what I'm saying? Like I was with my sponsor a couple of weeks ago, right? And we was out in Massachusetts, and he was doing a rap at a men's meeting, right? And he was talking about sponsoring men, right? But he ain't always sponsor men because I ain't coming to the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous a man. I learned how to be a man in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. You understand what I'm saying? Men do men things, right? It's about growing up in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. And we learn that we are growing when we make new mistakes and stop repeating the same mistakes over and over and over again. Some people have problems with literature, right? I believe in the literature of Narcotics Anonymous, right? The literature, right, was written by addicts, for addicts, about addicts, right? But it was here when I got here. So if y'all got any problem with them, y'all be mad at them. Y'all be mad at them. I love y'all. Please, I love y'all, right? But, you know, it helped save my life, right? Our spiritual condition is the basis for a successful recovery that offers unlimited growth. When our members celebrate their recovery anniversaries, they often say that they've grown up in Narcotics Anonymous. Well, then, we think, what does that mean? We start to wonder if we're grown-ups yet. We check our lives, and yes, all the trappings of adulthood are there, the checkbook, the children, the job, the responsibilities. On the inside, though, we often feel like children. We're still confused by life much of the time. We don't always know how to act. We sometimes wonder whether we're really grown-ups at all or whether we're children who somehow been put into adult bodies and given adult responsibilities. Mm-hmm. I got you. Growth is not measured by physical age or levels of responsibility. Our best measure of growth is our spiritual condition, the basis of our recovery. Recovery is what happens in our meeting. Right? The message that I carry is important, but the message that I live is more important than the message that I carry. I'm an addict. My name is Hank. Thanks for allowing me to share.